I've been talking about the Word. The Word of God is working. Last week we talked about cooperating with the Word. We're continuing on with this thought, with this theme. I'm impressed to stay here because of what's coming. You must have a solid foundation in the Word of God. You must know God intimately for yourself. If there ever was a time that you really needed to know God, know His ways, know His dealings, be in relationship with Him, it's right now. It's right now. And so I'm going to continue to share and unpack this as the Holy Spirit is leading me. And I hope that it's speaking to you, those who are watching by way of live stream, that's speaking to you as well on multiple levels. Many of you know that, you know, you can teach something one time and just keep moving on to new things, but it never really gets in the person. It's like the parable of the sower, how the word is sown and how it falls on various soil, various hearts. And so I have this burden, not in a bad way, but I have this burden of helping those that are connected to this house, those that are connected to this ministry, those that are connected and watching by way of live stream, to help you to really trust God and trust that His Word is working. So this morning, I want to continue with the thought, just a little bit of a tweak to it, and that thought would just simply be the Word of God is alive and working. The Word of God is alive and working. Now, let me rehearse just a couple of scriptures that we've been looking at, and then I want to share a specific thought that I know Holy Spirit spoke to me last night. The Word of God is alive and working. Say that. The Word of God is alive and working. It's in Isaiah 55, 6 through 13. You would do well to memorize this for yourself. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. I just want to lean into that part right there. My word will go forth out of my mouth and it will not return to me empty. It will not return to me without accomplishing what I have desired for it to accomplish without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. When God speaks a word to you, when you get a word from God, you can hold on to that word. You need to hold on to that word. He's saying that word is going to fulfill itself in some time. It will fulfill itself at some point. The thing for you and I is to recognize, and it simply is that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We get tripped up because a lot of times we get the word, we hear the word, and we just kind of map it out based on, or we try to figure it out before it needs to be figured out, if it needs to be figured out at all. God never will speak to you and I and say, now figure it out. He'll speak it and then say, trust me. He'll speak it and say, now exercise your faith in it. And that's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, 12 and 13. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes, to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God is alive, y'all. This word is alive. I know we read the Bible, but the word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive, and it's through speaking the Word that you and I are able to, if you will, come in agreement with God, come in agreement with the things of God. Often God will speak to you so that you will speak it in the earth. That's really what prophetic ministry is, y'all, whether you realize it or not. It's not you and I speaking it and God obeying us. He says, that which you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. I need you to think about that for a moment. Is it possible that there's certain things that are already bound in heaven, but they won't show up here until somebody says they're bound here? Okay, that which you loose on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. What is it that's already loose, but you and I, it hasn't made its way to us because we're not saying the right thing? We're not coming in agreement with His Word. I've said this before, God is not a cosmic bellhop where you and I declare and decree and He's running on over the place trying to make sure what you say happens. No, it's exactly the opposite. It's already done. He's already said it. Say, He's already said it. Come on, He's already said it. Come on, say, He's already done it. It's already done. We established also that He's watching over His Word. He's watching over His Word. That passage we just read where it says that my Word goes forth and not returns to me void, He's watching over the Word to fulfill it. We see that reality in Jeremiah. You can read it in Jeremiah 1, verses 1 through 12. I'm reading just a part of it because I want to keep moving here. Jeremiah is struggling with the fact that God has called him. He doesn't think he's equipped. And God kind of deals with that. And then it says this, then the Lord stretched out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. Meaning, you don't have to worry about what to say, how to say it. I put my words in your mouth. Now, for you and I, we live that out by speaking faith-filled words. How many remember the teachings that we've taught on speaking faith-filled words? Pastor Deborah, I don't know where that's at. Can you find, do you have a PowerPoint of faith-filled words? Okay, I'm probably going to pull you out of where you're at, but just find that and get that up for a moment so we can all rehearse that. Because hear me, the things that God has given me to teach are to establish. They are to deconstruct some things. How many of you know that for many believers, we just need deconstruction? We need a good enema. We maybe that wasn't the best, but y'all know what I'm saying. Because it's very unfortunate that in many ways, in many churches, it's bland. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect ministry. Everybody's got a little bit of something that they need to work on. For many of us, we've had to grow into the place of speaking faith-filled words. So God speaking here, He says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. It goes on and says, see, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and plant. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Say, word of the Lord. Come on, say, His word is alive and working. His word is alive and working. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word. I am watching over my word. I am watching over my word to perform it. Now, He's watching over His word to perform it. Guess what? You need to watch over your words so that it gets performed. He's watching over His word to perform it. That word is alive. That word is moving. The moment you say certain things, the moment He says something, and you come in agreement, things begin to shift. Things begin to move. And the thing that has hurt the body of Christ is there's not been the teaching on guard your words. We tell people don't cuss. Now, I'm just here to tell you now I'm not condoning this, but you can cuss all day and still go to heaven. You might miss out here. Now, that's not a license for some of y'all to just take it to the next level. Okay. Well, I'm gonna start using that word again. No. That's not what I'm saying. The point I'm making is many of us have been hindered by the things that we know God has said we were leaving for, and it has to do with the fact that we haven't aligned our mouths with what he has said. So, faith-filled words, come on, read it with me. Here we go. Faith-filled words are words spoken that are in line with the Word of God or words spoken directly from the Word of God. They are positive words spoken with expectation and anticipation that allows room for God to move as he wills. They are words that ring with confidence that God is able to work in any situation. Say any situation again. Any situation, regardless of its complexity, appearance, or predicted outcome. Fifth words are words of hope, joy, peace, love, blessing, and life. That's faith-filled words. Jeremiah said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said, you have seen well. I am watching over my word to perform it. I want you to know he is watching over his word in your life, in my life. He is watching over his word concerning this nation and the nations to see that it comes to pass. God wants you and I to grow in our relationship where we're able to see past just where we're at concerning ourselves. This isn't just for leaders and pastors and other individuals. It's for every believer. He watches over his word, and we see that he fulfills his word. In Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah speaks a word out of obedience. In Jeremiah 29, you can read it 10 through 14. There, he says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to bring you back to this place. This is Jeremiah talking. He says, after 70 years, when 70 years have been completed, for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill my good word to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows the plans that he has for me. But that's where cooperating with the word comes into play. Because he can know it, show it to us, but we have to be willing to cooperate with the word. So much doesn't happen because we never disciplined ourselves, submitted ourselves to the place to be able to just simply cooperate. Oftentimes he's saying, I just need you to trust me and cooperate even though you don't understand it. I just need you to trust me and cooperate even though you don't like it. This wasn't a yes, amen, hallelujah word for them. 70 years, what are you talking about? Because there were other prophets speaking other more flowery words that they wanted to hear. Jeremiah was that weeping prophet. You ever been in that space or that place where God's using you to say something that no one else is saying? It's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable place to be in. But God is watching over his word, and God fulfills his word. So he speaks this word to Jeremiah, says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. He's just simply talking about return to me. He's talking about return to that place of intimacy in relationship with me. That's why I love this morning just going back to that simple chorus we sang, let your glory fill this house. Because you know what it did for me? It took me back to my house when ministry was less cumbersome, a lot less responsibility. Back then, all we had to do was make sure that the carpet was vacuumed, that the kitchen was clean, that the place was straightened up because people are coming over. Let your glory fill this house. Yeah, it was easy to go there. But it reminded me of that place of intimacy. That often what we read here and what this word is saying, God is dealing with them based on the fact they have walked away from him. His word is working. His word is working, and you need to know it's going to work for you or it's going to work against you. No, it's going to work for you, and it's going to work for you. I'm not going to say work against you, because no, it's going to work for you, and it's going to work for you. It's just what the for you looks like. And you play a role in that. I play a role in that. We play a role in that, guys. We play a role in that. So I love the fact that he makes it real clear. When 70 years are up, and then we see in Ezra chapter 1 how he watches over his word, how he fulfills it, how he brings it to pass. Because it says here, and then I'm going to move on. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now I need you to understand, God raised Cyrus up, gave him kingdoms, so that at the right time, he could get Cyrus's attention to do his will. I want to say something to us right now that I hope that you'll just tuck it in, just hold it. Don't get caught up in all the stuff that's going on right now. Don't get caught up in all that's happening right now in the political mess that's going on. God's word is alive and working. He watches over his word to perform it. He brings forth his will, his desire. Don't make one mistake in this as you look at it and think that God is not in charge. God is in charge. And he moves as he wills through the times and seasons of men. God raises up Cyrus. There's no real indication that Cyrus was even a believer, that he believed in God. Some believe that he converted, others not sure. You know what I say? It really didn't matter. Because see, if I was one of them that just spent 70 years in Babylon, I don't care whether Cyrus is saved or not. He wrote the decree, I'm up out of here, right now, today. The word of the Lord says here, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the good word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, God is saying, I'm going all the way back now. When he spoke that word and said, you're going to be here 70 years, some historians believe they'd already been there maybe 3 to 5 years. The 70 years didn't start when he said it. They were already in it. He just gave it an ending. So all they needed to do was kind of count back. Okay, we've been here 5 years. Okay, we got 65 years to go. The moment he spoke that, set it in motion for them. But for God, it was already in motion. So I want you to understand that the way the word of God works is when he says it doesn't mean he's starting it. When he says it, it's already out there. It's already out there. It's already out there. When God presents things to you and I to exercise our faith, Oftentimes he says, the choice is yours. You choose. I'm going to be with you either way. At the time that we were looking at this property right here, we had the opportunity for another property. It was all faith, any kind of way, either way. But God said, son, what do you want to do? You choose. Door one or door two, doesn't matter. Whichever one you choose, I'm going with you. I'm going to be with you. Now, I want you to hear me what I'm saying to you. Because oftentimes, we really get stuck. When God is saying, no, I've got you either way. My word is going to work either way. But understand this, it's going to either work at this dimension or this dimension. But the word is going to work. Your faith is either going to work at this dimension or this dimension. It's still faith. God moves on the heart of Cyrus in order to fulfill the word, the good word spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Says the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom. And also put in writing saying, and quite simply, without going to all the detail of it, God just simply said, let my people go. Cyrus wrote a proclamation, went to all the kingdoms, all the areas, and simply said, let the people of God go. And when you let them go, give them stuff. Bless them on their way out. Now, why would he say that? Well, God is watching over his word. When you go back to Jeremiah 29 and you read that, it says, God says, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to bring you out with substance. I'm going to bring you out with increase. I'm going to bring you out, and you're not going to stumble out. You're not going to fall out. I'm going to bring you out with the resources you need to do what I need you to do, what I've called you to do next. So here's the shift that I want to make in our teaching this morning. And it's simply this. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Yeah, now I want you to act like you're writing it down. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Come on, say it again. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Because the word of God is alive and working. The word of God is alive and working. I'm going to say it again. Thank you, Georgia. The word of God is alive and working. Okay, can I get about seven more amens to the three? Okay. The word of God is alive and working. See, amen means so be it. The word of God is alive and working. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. I think it's a good word. It kind of excited me when I heard it first. I was like, oh, God, that's a good one. That's a good one. He said, I know. Go to Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Everybody say Luke chapter 8, verse 40. If you whatever you use, find it. Hallelujah. I still enjoy this kind of Bible. I mean, this is like a relic. But anyway, This is it right here. Because iPads can go out. Y'all know about the glitch that happened here recently that shut down just literally all kinds of things over the last few days. Yeah, you better get one of these. You better get one of these and start using it. Be able to work your way through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Just keep that right there. I'm going to just read this passage of scripture. But I need you to get this in you. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And Jesus returned. As Jesus returned, people welcomed him, for they had been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and fell at his feet and began to implore him to come to his house. He had a daughter, an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing him. Now I'm going to pause right there and just share where this is going, because I don't want to, I need to keep moving in what I'm doing. So many of you know this passage of scripture. He tells Jairus, okay. But what happens is, while he's going, there's also another scenario, and that's the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that she said in her heart, if I can just touch him, I would be made whole. Now, there's all kind of people all around, and Jesus is walking with Jairus, and Jairus is like trying to get him to the house. And the woman's making her way through the crowd. Some translation says she came up from behind him. Matter of fact, it says that in verse 44. Came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. The revelation she had is, I don't need to talk to him. I just need to touch him. I just need to touch him. I need to just touch him. But in the midst of that crowd and her touching him, it says he stopped and said, who touched me? Who touched me? I'm convinced of this, that we can have wonderful times of worship and we can have literally hundreds of people, thousands of people, but not everybody's touching the heart of God. We're just all in the same space. It has to do with faith. It has to do with expectation. It has to do with anticipation. It has to do with intimacy with God. She just simply believed that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. And right in the midst of that, he stops and says, wait a minute, somebody touched me. And they're saying, well, look, Jesus, we're in a crowd. Everybody's touching each other. He says, no, I felt power. I felt virtue. I felt power leave my body. And he turns around and she's there. Verse 47 says, when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice. See, she didn't want to be noticed even. She came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him. And how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. While he was still speaking, someone came from the house, the synagogue, saying to Jairus, your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. Now I'm back to here. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. So you see there that the servant shows up, or the guard shows up, whoever shows up and says, hey, you know what? Man, it's over. She's dead. See, oftentimes you and I, we place finality on something. When God is saying, keep believing for what you're believing for. Until I say otherwise. That's a good time to clap right there. Because I'm saying to some of you right now, you put a period and an ending at certain things when he says, that wasn't me, that was you. So you can't blame it on me as to why it never happened. Like, God didn't come through for me. No, no, no. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Now, once he says otherwise, if he ever says otherwise, then you know to do something else. But until then, Jairus is faced with a decision right here, because he's got a guy telling him it's too late. But whoever that servant was didn't know Jesus. He didn't have any kind of relationship like Mary, the sister of Lazarus, had. Now, Martha too, but you remember, John chapter 11. Lazarus is dead 4 days. He gets there, and Martha says, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. He says, your brother will live again. She says, I know he'll live again in the resurrection. She said, daughter, you don't understand. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe me? She says, yeah, Lord, I believe. He said, now go get Mary. I want to talk to Mary. So I want you to know this, and I'm still talking about the word is alive and working. I'm still talking about this. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Because you see, even in the midst of that, see, Martha showed up to rebuke him. Mary showed up with faith. Mary shows up, drops to her knees, and says the very same thing that her sister said. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. I believe what we don't hear that's in her heart is, but now that you're here, anything is possible. Now that you're here, anything is possible. Now that you're here, anything is possible. Now that you've spoken it, anything is possible. And the Bible says that Jesus wept and just simply said, where have you laid him? He told him to roll the stone away. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. If he'd have walked up and they both said what they said and he said, listen, I'm sorry I didn't make it. He's gone. Then that would have been that. But that's not what he said. He says to Jairus, she's dead. In verse 50 says, but when Jesus heard this, he answered him, said, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe and she will be made well. Now, I want you to understand this point here. Jesus has already said, I'm going to go with you. But this man is still going in fear and anxiety. Do not be afraid any longer. See, in his mind, he's working with a time frame. I got to get there. We got to get there. We got to get there. This woman stops saying, oh, come on now. You know, you could have got healed any other time. I need Jesus in my house right now. My daughter is dying. He's working out of that. Now how many of you know that even saved and spirit-filled, you still have to fight off anxiety sometimes? You have to fight off fear. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. He says, do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she will be made well. Now, the fact that he said she's dead took care of the anxiety. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because now, well, okay, she's gone. But what Jesus does is it gives him hope and say, no, wait a minute now. Stay with me on this. Stay with me. Keep believing. Come on, say, keep believing. Come on, say, keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. And so even though he got this word that would have stopped some in their tracks, Jesus is saying, no, keep going. The word of God is alive and working. You and I must continue to cooperate with that word, believe for that word, stand on that word until or unless he says otherwise. And the rest of that story, they get to the house. There are those crying there. They say, she's dead. Jesus says, she's not dead. She's sleeping. They laugh at him. He puts them out. He puts them out. When you are standing in the place, you keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. You got to make sure you got the right people around you that will keep believing for what you're believing for unless he says otherwise. You don't need naysayers. You don't need those. Oh, well, you know, nice try. But, you know, that season's over. It's just not going to happen. No, you keep believing for what you're believing for until or unless he says otherwise. That's the place you want to stay in. Had Jairus just said, Jesus, I don't want to bother you anymore. Thank you for your time. You know, but we just didn't make it. No. He gets there and Jesus puts them out, and the only ones he let in there were Peter, John, and James. This word is working. This word is working. I led you through a number of confessions or declarations concerning the word. And I'm going to make sure that we do get those in print because I want you to make sure that you're getting it on the inside of you. We've declared the word of God is alive and working in my life. The word of God is alive and working in my life right now. The word of God is working in me, perfecting me, maturing me, and transforming me into the image of Jesus Christ. These are the kinds of declarations we've got to be making right now. You've got to be making them right now. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the image, the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. We're being transformed. This word is alive. This word is alive. In 1 John 3, 2 and 3, it says this, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Perfecting me, maturing me, transforming me into the image of Jesus Christ. The word is alive. The word is working. Our posture has to be, keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. Until he says otherwise. In Acts chapter 23, you don't have to go there. I just need to tell this, give this example as well. In Acts 23, verse 11, Paul is dealing with running for his life. Paul gets converted. We all know that story. Most of us know that story. He gets converted. But his challenge is this. He was so effective at persecuting the saints that they didn't believe he was really saved. He was so effective in his assignment that when he became born again, many of them thought he was just trying to infiltrate them, just to get in their ranks. He's going to profess Jesus so he can get in and take them all out. But he was truly converted, truly born again. So he had believers that didn't trust him. He had the religious folks that hated him now. Even though he had all of their degrees and everything, they hated him. So you have to know, he was walking in some very lonely places. And there were those that were conspiring to kill him. But word comes to him in Acts 23, and it's in verse 11, that simply says, matter of fact, put that up, Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Just put that verse up real quick. And basically it's saying to him, listen, you're going through some things, but you're going to be all right because you got to get to Rome. You have an assignment in Rome. See, that's one of the things that is you and I. Here it is. It says, but on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, I love that. The Lord stood at his side and said, not an angel. The Lord stood at his side and said, take courage. For as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. Meaning, you're going to get out of here. Because you need to go to Rome. I love that. That's why the Word of God is so important for you and I. That's why it's important for us to not only know the written Word, but know the Rhema Word, meaning that Word that's particular for you. There is something to be said about true, authentic, prophetic ministry. I'm not talking about some of the crazy stuff out there. I'm talking about God sending a word to you that lets you know it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Sometimes that's all you need to hear. You're going to be all right. It's going to be all right. That'll keep you right there. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. You're going to be all right. You get that diagnosis, you get that prognosis, things get crazy, and then you hear the voice of the Lord, you hear the word of the Lord come to you, you're going to be all right. It's going to be all right. That's what you hold on to. That's the word that you hold out there every time you're struggling in your humanity, you're struggling in your mind, you're struggling in your emotions, you might be struggling in your physical body, but the word of the Lord came to me and said, it's going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. And his word is alive and his word is working. Now, I may not know exactly how it's working. I don't care about that. He's not asking me to know that. He's not asking me to figure that out. He's asking me to trust him and he's asking me to stay right with him, stay right with him, stay right with him. So those 15 years that I walked out to that place of health and wholeness dealing with the prostate issue and got a diagnosis and all of that, I went 15 years without talking about it. Not because I was scared, Madeline. It wasn't because I was scared. It's because I lived in a place of understanding faith-filled words. I lived in a place of understanding that I'm not talking about it except he tell me to talk about it. And I remember the very night once we had received the information and knew what God wanted us to do, the very night that we shared it with our team. It was a Thursday night, a very calming night. I'm sorry, y'all. I was thinking somebody else sharing there. We sat at, Pastor Maurice and I were at some kind of gathering, some kind of presentation at Eddie Merlot's. And I remember sitting there and we'd asked the team to assemble and we left that gathering and went to, and then I spoke and shared with them what God had said to me. I walked them through the journey and this is what God said do. Now, I'm believing for what I'm believing for until he says otherwise. And God walked me, walked us right on through that thing. And I stand here completely healed and whole in Jesus' name. I'm going to clap right along with you. Hey! Give him glory. Give him glory. Because all you need is a word. Once you get that word, hold on to that word. Jairus could have told Jesus, never mind. That woman messed it all up. Jesus said, look, don't be afraid anymore. Come on, let's go. Went and raised his daughter up. Paul is struggling. He's navigating through many trying to take his life. Believers not believing him. The religious folks wanting to kill him. And the Lord comes to him. says, hey, you're going to be okay. You're going to get out of Jerusalem because I need you in Rome. See, God will bring a word to you in your most difficult times. When he brings that word to you, don't discount it, even though you don't understand it in the moment, even though it may not make sense to you in the moment. That word is not to fit within your moment. That word is to recalibrate you to recognizing there's more for you. There's a future ahead of you. And so once Paul gets that word, he knows he's going to be all right, but it still's not over. So when you get to Acts 27, when you get to Acts 27 now, Paul is on his way to Rome. But Paul has already told those, and here's the interesting thing. Paul is on his way to Rome as a prisoner. Paul is a prisoner, yet fulfilling God's word. I like that. Paul is a prisoner. And in the midst of the trip, storms come up so bad that it looks like they're not going to make it. But Paul's got a word. And that word is, you must appear before Rome. Paul's got a word. And in the midst of the storms, in the midst of all the rain and the crashing of the waves, word comes to him again on that ship. And the word that comes to him is, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. God has a way of speaking in one season. I like this, Lord. God has a way of speaking in one season and then coming back in a latter season to reassure you of something he said in the latter season. God knows when you're weary, even as you stand in faith. He knows that. And in the midst of your weariness, he will come to you and reassure you that what I said back then is still the word for today. You hold on to that word, it's going to get you through this situation. So they're on the ship. Around verse 21, he says this, when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in the midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. He just had to get that out of his system. I told you we shouldn't go. He got that out of his system. Then he said what needed to be said and what really was going to mean something for them. 22, he says, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there is no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong, of the God of whom, to whom I belong and whom I've served, stood before me, saying, do not be afraid. Come on, all it takes is one more word. Just one more word. The word of God is working. The word of God is alive and working. The word of God is alive and working. So the word that he received, you must appear before Rome, that word is working. That word is working. That word is not falling. But what weighs in the balance is Paul starting to feel like, is this word really going to happen because I'm dealing with some stuff here? Is this word ever going to happen because I'm dealing with some stuff here? Sometimes you're in a situation, I'm in a situation, we're believing for this, we believe God has spoken this, we're standing in faith, but we're still challenged. And right in the midst of that, God can send someone who can bring you a word of affirmation, a word of confirmation, a word of encouragement that causes strength to come back to you. This word comes to Paul, and he says, there's not going to be any loss. He says, for the God who I serve sent an angel, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. There's the word. That's the same word that was spoken earlier. You must stand. You must appear before Rome. He's coming back to tell him that same word, just giving it to him in a little different vernacular. He says, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar. I want to say to you, what has God spoken to you? And the place you need to stay in is keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Come on, some of y'all need to say, I'm not giving up. I know what he said. I know what he said. I've heard Bishop Garlington say sometimes, you know, in his travels, and sometimes he's flying, you know, and he says, look, it's got to be safe because there's words I haven't fulfilled yet. There's words that haven't been fulfilled yet. I've heard others say that as well. And I believe that there is this place that God wants you and I to step into and to walk into, that causes us to be resolute that God's word is alive and working. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Keep believing for what you're believing for until he says otherwise. And I'm going to stop right there. Oh, oh. Oh, 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 we're going to worship God in giving now. Deborah, I want you to find and just let it play because it's just so fitting. Believe for it. Just find that. We're going to let, you know, our special worship artist here for today, C.C. Winans. I want you to prepare to give. Don't, if you need an envelope, raise your hand. Don't collect the offering yet, though. I want us to just in the time of this song, just let Holy Spirit remind you of some things.